So before we begin our talk tonight, why don't we do a little practice on something? So why don't we begin, just close your eyes and think of somebody, could be somebody in your life, could be somebody you live with, or a parent, a child, an acquaintance, a colleague, political figure, someone who you go, I can't believe what they do, I can't believe how they are, I can't believe what they believe, just pick somebody, or just again, somebody you may be in conflict with in your life right now, see things very differently, you're angry with them, they're angry with you. Again, so it can be very personal, or it can be political. You can pick somebody running for president, or somebody and go, I can't believe they stand for what they stand for, or say what they say, or do what they do. So I invite you to pick somebody, but somebody who you have a sense of. I mean, even though you may not know them, you know enough about them. And let that sense of disbelief, antagonism, judgment, anger toward, hatred toward, dislike toward, let that arise in you. So you're really in a position of opposition to this other person. When you, with the actions they've done toward you, or actions they've done toward somebody else, or things they say or do, and you just either angry at it, disgusted by it, can't believe it, how could anybody believe such things, act such a way, do such a thing, even, to difficult things that we read about in the paper, individuals who do things that we think are just horrendous. So again, whether it's somebody close to you or whether it's somebody a little bit of distance, find that person in your mind and let that, again, that anger at them and hatred, antipathy, dislike, dismay, be very strong in you. Everybody have somebody? Good. So now what I want you to do, after you've spent some time really disliking them, dismayed, judging them, on not believing that somebody could be that way, see that way, do things, I want you for a moment to continue to look at that person, see that person, but now put yourself out of the equation. And I want you to try something. I want you to step out of your skin, your life, and I want you to go into this person. So now you are inside them, looking out at the world through their eyes and having the full range of emotions that they have, and having the full range of belief systems, attitudes, behaviors that they have. And rather than judging them, what I invite you to do is to be inquisitive. You want to understand, what are the variables that make up this person? What are the causes and conditions that have created them to be just who they are today? Acting the way they act, believing the way they believe, thinking the way they think, speaking the way they think, speaking the way they speak. I want you to be curious and very open to understanding the causes, the experiences that this human being has gone through, so therefore they are exactly who they are in this moment. Which would mean, of course, to understand their childhood, their upbringing, their family, their experiences. As a child growing up in their family, and their religious, ethnic, whatever situation of growth there. And just kind of imagine the childhood, the adolescence, 20s, 30s, 40s, basically their experiences in life that would support someone being just as he or she is right now. So you understand that they cannot help being who and what they are right now, because they are nothing other than the summation of all these causes and conditions that have they have experienced and lived in their whole life. And you do this practice until it all becomes clear to you. And what in the past was, I can't believe it, now becomes, of course I can believe it. What in the past was not understanding becomes now understanding. Why they are who they are, why they act the way they act, why they view things the way they view things. And this is not about right or wrong. This is simply about understanding. When you understand all the variables of climate, you understand why we have the weather we have today and why it couldn't be different. When you understand the ingredients that are in the dish of food, you understand why it tastes exactly the way it tastes. When you understand the history of a country, you understand why it is the way it is today. And again, when you are willing to enter into another human being and see with their eyes and live from their experience, you understand perfectly why they are the way they are. And so you know that you have reaped the fruits of this practice when there is that kind of understanding and clarity. Again, this is not about approval or disapproval. When you understand all the causes and conditions that make up a black snake, and you understand all the causes and conditions that make up a rattlesnake, you understand why one bites and one doesn't. Of course, this practice can also be helpful to each of us as individuals. To help us understand why we do what we do. Act the way we act, feel the way we feel, react the way we act. And we also are just a summation of all these causes and conditions that have created us. We call this looking deeply. When we look deeply into human beings, we look deeply into situations, our judgments often disappear, and they're replaced with understanding and compassion rather than anger or hatred, hurt or disappointment. We understand things cannot be any different than they are. Why? Because of causes and conditions. So when you're ready, you can open your eyes if you're done with your looking deeply. How'd you do? Was it easy?
No.
Was it hard?
No.
To who?
Hard
to what? So you just had a hard time even just getting into it.
No, not initially. I could, full disclosure, I went after something that my wife does that broke me.
Mm-hmm.
I get into the anger part of it, you're talking about.
You mean your anger at what she does?
Yes.
Okay.
Initially.
Initial, okay.
But
so,
to get into her mind.
Yeah. You couldn't attain it because you don't know her that well, or?
I know her pretty well, but I don't know the call names. I couldn't get to her.
Okay.
I went to a very specific thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
But that, how long have you been married?
We've been together 30 years.
Good. And there's something you don't know about her. Well, that's interesting. That maybe when you go home tonight, you could talk to her about that. That you want to understand her more deeply. And rather than always getting irritated at this behavior she does, you'd like to understand, where it's coming from, or how does she see you? Huh? Which is always an interesting view. I mean, we're usually working from the operant of how we see the other person. But I wonder how they see us. Especially.
I get an earful.
Yeah. Right, but often we get the earful at moments when we're not at our most kind to each other. So sometimes it's, but at a quieter moment. So we become curious, right? Good. Other people. Everybody find it easy? Yes.
Find it easy?
Did you pick somebody you began with really not having a clue about, and then you were able to what? So when you started with that person, when you didn't understand it, how did you feel about them?
I felt defensive and resisting and put up a big fight.
Good. And when you sort of got where they were coming from and how they saw things and maybe the cause and condition that supported that behavior, how did you feel?
I felt like I understood totally how someone could feel that way, and I understood how I could feel the way I felt, and I understood we were on parallel tracks rather than connected.
Yeah, and then you have some interesting things to do with that person, right? If you want to connect, and yeah, good.
I think the hardest part for
people is... The hardest part is what?
What I've listened to, it's the hardest part for people who is trying to feel okay about being who they are and letting someone else be who they are.
And letting somebody else what? The hardest thing is to... Say that again? I'm just trying to say this for the recorder. What? The hardest thing is to let someone else...
Be who they are. While you're being who you are, and feel okay about walking away.
And feeling okay about walking away if that's where you're at. Right. Yeah. But, you know, but as you say, before then, there's lots of hurt and disappointment and anger and frustration and all kinds of drama. But when you come to that place of understanding and respect, right? Then a lot of that drama, I mean, there still may be a sadness, you know, that we can't connect or whatever, but, you know, that's human. But at least that drama, that anger and all that, I can't believe, you know, that judgment disappears. Good. Anybody else want to share their experiences? Everybody else found it easy? Yes. You were able to get into the other person.
Think about their upbringing and understand some of their behavior, but not be okay with it. My ex-husband treats my daughter very...
What? Say what? Your ex...
My ex-husband treats my daughter
yes.
very poorly.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And it's difficult to watch somebody who was treated the same way. He's treating my daughter the same way he was treated.
Right.
And you being okay with that, absolutely just not okay.
Yeah. So that's a good point. So I'm just saying for a quarter. So somebody's, the question is, ex-husband, child, yes, you can understand, you know, your ex-husband's upbringing and experiences and how he was treated as a child, so you can understand why he may treat his daughter, your daughter, in a certain way, but yet that causes you suffering.
Yes.
Yes, and you're not okay with the result. And that's fine, you see, okay? I mean, it means that when we act, and you might have to act to protect your daughter or for the well-being of your daughter, if that's really a concern of yours. But to do it from a place of understanding, right? Rather, you know, and to come to somebody with that from that place of understanding. Because when we come to that other person with a place of anger and judgment and put down, and I can't believe someone would, you know, right away, what does that do to the other person? Yeah, they get defensive or aggressive, but it's a setup for you know what, more suffering. Again, it doesn't mean, but again, you know, that it can always be resolved in a certain way. But I think when you take the time to remember that this person, and we find it hard to believe, this person cannot help himself at this moment. It doesn't mean 10 minutes from now he can't. But in that moment, because you see, this is the way he does it, right? And he can't help himself. It doesn't mean, you know, the same way talking about a rattlesnake. You know, the rattlesnake can't help itself. You don't blame the rattlesnake, right, for trying to bite you, right? You wouldn't get personally affronted because you understand what? It's a rattlesnake. I mean, that's its nature. No, again, it doesn't mean that you don't protect yourself from it. It doesn't mean that you don't desire to not be around it. Or it may not be, that you don't get a stick or something. You know what I'm saying? But you don't do it in anger, do you? You can do it quite rationally and clear-headedly. You just see the situation and you deal with it. And again, this is coming back. You know, when we get into these more personal things, we find it difficult to do that. That's why this kind of exercise is so important, because it allows you to see. We always say, one of our great stupid sayings, you know, we say, well, they should know better, right? Don't we always say that? Well, they know better, or they should know better. But the truth is, if they knew better, they wouldn't be doing it. I mean, obviously, they don't know better, right? If they knew better, they don't know better, even though they may. You understand what I'm saying. And so we say a lot of those things. When it's obvious, let's say in this case, your ex-husband doesn't know better. Right? It doesn't mean that, you can't have a conversation with him in which he'll learn. It doesn't mean that change is impossible. It's impossible. But you begin from reality. Right? And you try to bring understanding and compassion into that reality rather than anger and judgment. And so again, understanding doesn't mean we don't act, right? But it means we act from a more intelligent place than probably the way you were feeling earlier today, right? And again, and that's unfortunately what happens, because you get into situations like that when there's a lot of blame and emotionality, and then we act often very unskillfully, right? And we end up making the situation worse, or at least not better. Good. Other people, how else did we do? Yes.
Can I just ask?
Yes.
I have a really hard time with people that
you speak up a little bit.
People that are very self-righteous.
You have a problem with self-righteous people.
Yeah, one way, no more ways.
Yeah.
That's one way, and mm-hmm. It's hard for me to get in somebody else's, how they get there, how to gain it.
Well, let maybe, so the question is, how can somebody, these kind of people who think they're always right and know what everything should be done, and right? And always, how do they become like, what? So you're somebody who kind of hesitates more, and you're not that sure or definite in what you do.
I just don't understand people.
So you admire people like that, or you think they're all jerks? You think they're jerks? Okay.
I just think that they're very
close-minded. That's good. That's what it appears to you. So people who seem very clear, and they always know what the right way to do it, and they always think they know best about everything. You don't get these people, right? All right. So, does anybody here want to stand up for? All right. Anybody want to admit that they're one of those people who always think they're right and always have? Okay. Now, can you? Ista, right? Ista. Ista wants to know, how did you get that way? Because she can't. I mean, what were the causes and conditions that supported somebody just being an arrogant SOB? You know, how do you get that way?
I can tell you that for me, it's a lot of control. I want to be right. I want the control. There's a lot of fear. I found that there's a lot of fear over there because of all kinds of old stories that aren't taken together. Somewhere I have to have.
So what someone is saying, just saying for a quarter, is her experience that her need to always be right is comes from a need to control, and that underneath a lot of that control are all kinds of experiences growing up where there's a lot of fear or anxiety, and so therefore
and no control.
So somebody becomes over controlling. Anybody else? Anybody here always think they're right and always have the right answer? Anybody want to give Ister a little insight into
sphere, basically, underneath. Is, you want to see everything one way so it's more clear that way?
It could be. So that's one way, right? Or else, you know, there are different kind of egos, right? You know, different kind of, some egos, like we talk in the beginning, right? We say the opening verse, we want to be free from the superiority complex, the inferiority complex, and the equality complex. You know that in the opening verse?
I just never understood it.
Good. Yeah, so now we'll talk about that. So what she's saying there is self, right? And self can take many forms because of causes and conditions. Some selves, their relationship to life and other people is superiority. I'm better than, smarter than, richer than, more worthy than, more beautiful than, you know what I mean? More powerful than, you know, there are lots of that. But otherwise, somebody takes a superior position in life to other people. Other people take an inferior position in life. I'm less than, right? I'm not as worthy as, I'm not as beautiful as, I'm not as smart as, I'm not as rich as, I'm not as worthy as. You know, so that's another, you know, we could say the first one is looking down always. The second one is always looking up. Right, and then the equality complex, you know, is that sense of kind of rivalry, competitive. You know, it's like I'm equal to everybody, so I'm always got to proving that I'm better than, or always got to find ways to put down other people. You know what I mean? So it's kind of a battleground. That's the equality complex, and so basically, these are kind of three stances that self ego takes. And, you know, some people are always the superior one. Some people are always the inferior one. And some people are always in the quality competitive. But for many of us, it's a little more complex. In some situations, we take the superiority. In some situations, we take the inferior. Some, you know what I mean? So it's not, you know, every now and then you find people, you know, who are pure. Right, and maybe these are what you're talking about. People who are just always superior, always right, always arrogant, you know, across the board. Very consistent. As opposed to other people who are more mixed. But again, even if it's out of your realm of experience, right, you can always know that it must be causes and conditions. Something created this person. Right? They didn't just come out of nowhere. Children, have you ever seen little infants? Like little babies when they're born? They don't come in the world with superiority and inferiority complexes, do they? Right? That's not what children are about, are they? Infants. So we know it had to come afterwards. It had to come during the course of the development of the self. Right? So in the same way, if you go to a garden, right? And you see some flower that looks weak, right? You know that somehow it's not, something's wrong, right? It doesn't have good soil, it doesn't have the right kind of sunlight or shade, it doesn't have the right, you know what I'm saying? You may not know what it is, but when you see it, you go, there's something wrong, because it's not growing, right? So you know there's some causes and conditions, right? So in the same way, when you, even if you can't always, like we're trying to do, really get inside somebody else and really see life from their eyes, even when you can't do that, you know that there have to be reasons. You know, things don't come out of nowhere. And at least, and you know that whatever the causes were in this moment of that interchange, and that person can't help being who they are. Now, it doesn't mean if you said something to them, right, that they may not change 5 minutes from now, right? Because that's always possible. But it means in the moment that it happened, you don't go, I can't believe this person is the way they are. You know, that's what we do, right? When the truth is, of course you can believe it, because that is the way they are, isn't it? So why is it that you can't believe what's going on right in front of you? Isn't this the way they are? Always right? Always sure of themselves? Always have an opinion on everything? Right? Isn't this the way they are? So you can believe it, right? And so when we understand that, we can accept that. Now again, it doesn't mean that we like being around this person. We may not enjoy being around a person like that, right? And that's our choice. Or if there's a situation where it's always creating negativity for us, well, we may not say something to that person to try to see if we can change. But again, what's your name again?
Kelly.
Kelly. As we were saying to Kelly, it means that we're doing it from understanding, as opposed to anger and I can't believe this person, like that. Well, why do you get angry?
It's just something that I just can't help it. Just...
I don't believe that. I mean, are they torturing you?
Well, almost.
It feels that way.
Yeah.
But I mean, are they really torturing you?
No.
No. Ah, right. I just want to get clear. Because if they really were physically torturing you, we would handle it differently. But what is bothering you so? Well, what do you have to learn?
Deal with them. Mm-hmm. Kind of see them as those good people with those conditions thrown on them, probably becoming someone that they're not.
Yeah, or else, yeah, but right, so you understand. But again, how do they see you? See, you see them like, I can't believe these people, right? So they see you as weak.
Yes.
Uh-huh. And because in their world, people should be strong.
Yes.
And have strong opinions.
Yes.
Right. And so they see you as somewhat... They probably go, I can't believe Aista. She has no opinions. And she's so wishy-washy. Right? So they're going, I can't believe this. Right? And you're looking at them going, I can't believe these people. That's right. Right, so they frustrate you, right? And you frustrate them. There you go. All right. We call that suffering, don't we? It's not happiness, is it? In a relationship, right? I mean, again, it doesn't mean that people can't change, but it also means, rather than always being frustrated. The other person being frustrated by you, and you always being frustrated by the other person, right? What if you both just understood each other and accepted, this is the way this other person is, this is the way I am, and that's fine, right? I don't have to be them, and I don't expect them to be me. And if they're happy having an opinion about everything, that's fine. And if I'm happy having no opinions about anything, that's fine. And there's no right or wrong in any of that. You see? You know what that's called? Peace. Right? Peace. Right? When people are at peace with one another, when countries are at peace with one another, they're not always trying to force the other one to be like them. Right? I can accept that we are different. It's okay. You know, I mean, we don't have to be the same. Peace doesn't mean that everybody is the same, does it? Peace means we accept differences. And we're not going to go to war or force anybody to be the way we want them to be. So you could make peace with this person, couldn't you?
I'm working.
What?
I'm working.
Well, I think you could do better than that, Aista. Just accept them, that's the way they are. And if they say, but you should be like this, and you should... All right, but that's all right. But you don't have to argue with them. At the end of the day, it's why, this is the way I am. This is the way I am. Either, if you, what's the poor rattlesnake going to do? Right? I mean, if he gets into a relationship with the black snake, the black snake's always complaining about his rattle. He's so noisy, and, he's always rattling around and putting out your fang and threatening people, you know. The black snake goes, you know, I can't take it anymore, right? Or, why don't you be more like me, right? What's the poor rattlesnake going to say? I can't help it, right? I mean, I was born with a rattle, right? Right? It's like that, isn't it? You know, and, you know, rather than battling, right? How much better to accept? You know, Thich Nhat Hanh said a wonderful thing. He said, love is understanding. Yeah? Very profound. We think love is what? Love is a feeling, love is an emotion, love is a... right? But he says, love is understanding. When you love someone, he said, you understand them. Or you're willing to understand them. Right? And understand means what? What am I willing to accept? To understand somebody means I'm willing to do just what we're talking about. I'm willing to understand who this person is, the causes and conditions of the create them, and I can understand that. Right? When we love somebody, we understand them. And if we love somebody when they do something that is difficult for us to accept, we do our best to understand why they did it. Right? I mean, I often say to people, I mean, look, if you want to see love, you know, unconditional love, you know, it's the mother who shows up, you know, at her serial killer son's, you know, and says, he's such a wonderful boy. You know, and I mean, I don't, you know what I mean? It's like, you know, I mean, I realize he did this and this, but he was always such a good boy, you know? And you go, how could that be? Well, because she what? Or people will say, but he, you know, he's such a terrible childhood, and this happened to him, that happened to him. I mean, right? So the parent always tries to understand. Again, it doesn't mean you excuse the crime of that person. But at least you don't hate them. You understand that they cannot help, really. Because if they could help, they wouldn't have done what they did. That's hard for us to accept, right? Especially in situations where great harm is done, or we see adults doing things to children, you know, those are very difficult. But the truth is, that's really the way it is. You know, Thich Nhat Hanh's, most of you know Thich Nhat Hanh is, you know, his most famous poem, Call Me By My True Name. You know, it's a wonderful poem where he says, you know, he's writing about the boat people. And he says, you know, I am the young girl who is raped by the sea pirate. You know, in the situation, many of the boat people leaving Vietnam, they crossed the China Sea and everything, and there were pirates, basically based in Thailand, who were, you know, who would prey on them, and not only rob them, but often rape or kill. I mean, it was very difficult. And so he wrote a poem about this, and he said what? He said, I am the young girl who raped by the pirate. I am the pirate who grew up on this village, you know, this pirate village, you know, on the coast of Thailand. And, you know, and he says, if I had grown up in that village and grown up in the situation where everybody went off, you know, everybody, you know, being a pirate and doing these kind of things was normal, he said, I'd be out there doing that. I mean, a very powerful thing, what he said, right? I am the victim and I am the perpetrator. He says, I am the what? I am the mayfly and I am the frog. You know, it's, you know, the mayfly is the bug and the frog is the one who eats it. And he says, I am both. So it takes a big mind to see, understand that. So if he can say, I am the young girl who was raped by the pirate, but I am also the pirate who grew up in this pirate community and didn't know any different. It doesn't mean that you don't try to protect young girls and you don't try to stop pirates from preying on them, but you don't hate them because you understand the causes and conditions have created them. They didn't create themselves. So again, we call this looking deeply underneath the situations. Anybody else want to share their experience of? We call this practice exchanging self and other. There are different variations on it, but in our tradition, we want to exchange so we can see how things look from another person's eye, especially when we, I can't believe, I can't understand. We can't understand because why? Because we are inside Ista. But when you get out of her and go into this other person, then you can understand them. As long as you stay in you, you'll never understand them because it's not your experience. Right? From your experience, you go, how can somebody be this way? Right? But that's because you're staying inside your experience. But when you're willing to get out of your experience and go into this other human being and really be them with their experience, you'll understand it, right? The same way I'm sure you can understand your ex-husband. Doesn't mean you approve. Doesn't mean it's right, but you can understand. And that, and oftentimes understanding also promotes compassion. Because you understand anybody who would kind of consciously try to harm or hurt a child, there must be suffering in them, right? There must be suffering in them, still parts of themselves that suffer, right? And so your compassion, again, doesn't mean you don't act to protect your daughter, you know what I'm saying? But you understand suffering, and that often, we say they should know better, but oftentimes they really don't know better, right? How do we know they don't know better? Because they don't act differently. I mean, people show you who they are, right? By their actions, not by their words. But if you pay attention to people, they'll let you know who they are. They can't help it, right? Because they are who they are. So even though they're in grandma's bed, wearing grandma's nightgown, and wearing grandma's bonnet, if you pay attention, you'll see the tail. You'll see the big ears. Right? And you'll see those teeth. That's just have to be mindful. People show you who they are. Yes?
I will be who I am.
Okay.
Last week on Wednesday, we did the meditation, and then Angie did this guided meditation. And here we've done this meditation, and you've done like a guided meditation to go through this. So I found both of these guided meditations very helpful and brought calm. When we do the mindful meditation, the instructions are pay attention to your breath. If a thought comes in, acknowledge it, but to be present and not to go away in your thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
But these guided meditations, I'm, away in my thoughts.
Right.
So I'm confused.
No, you're not. No, it's very simple. There are different types of meditations, right? Like you said, some are guided meditations where words or imagery is used, in a more conceptual way to help us understand something or experience something, right? So that's one type of meditation. But when we're doing the mindfulness meditation, on the breath and the body and the sitting and the walking, we're learning to cultivate just pure mindfulness, the capacity to be present and attentive without getting lost in thought and conceptualization. Is that clear? So again, we're training the mind. I mean, did you ever go for a walk?
Yes.
All right, so you walk. It's one way you exercise your body. Do you ever swim?
Yes.
All right. That's another way to exercise your body. Do you ever do weights?
Yes.
All right, there's another way. So look at you. And you probably have other ways that you exercise your body, right? But it's all in the service of developing it. So in the same way, in this area of the mind, there are different practices we do to cultivate and transform, train the mind. So they're just different practices. So don't be confused. But it's good that you know what you're doing. Right? So it's like that.
So I guess my understanding was the mindfulness one was like the priority to do that. And that's why I was confused that, well, what's this? I thought we weren't supposed to do that.
Well, yes.
Positive.
Right. So the issue is you just do whatever you're doing.
Okay.
So when you're doing mindfulness meditation on the breath, you're 100% doing that. When you're walking, you're 100% doing that. When you're doing the guided meditation, you're totally 100% doing that. You're present. That's what you want to cultivate. We don't want to, like Eastus advised us, we don't want to have a rigid mind. We want to have a mind that's flexible. So we can do mindfulness of the breath, we can do mindfulness walking, we can do guided meditations, and whatever we're doing, we can have a cup of tea, whatever we're doing, we're just present and totally absorbed. That's the practice. Okay, is that clear?
Thank you.
Yeah. Good. Any other... anybody else want to share their experience of exchanging self and other? Anybody else have a good time or an interesting experience or had trouble doing it? Or anybody have success in doing it? It helped you all of a sudden understand somebody that you were having trouble understanding? Nobody wants to reveal their secrets. Yeah, oh, you are. I'm sorry, I didn't see you.
Hi. So it was an interesting experience for me because I recently left a position of a job in which I had entered about a year ago. And in this group, a very small group that I entered, the dynamics were very interesting. And when I put myself in, some of the dynamics were that they had worked together for 12, 15 years, and they had a lot of the aggressive, we only do it this way, and my way has been very much. And so when I practiced this meditation or the guided meditation, it helped me because I had a really difficult time in that environment. And when I reached out, the two women that I worked with, they were very, they both had that, one had a very aggressive approach, and they both had lost their father in a suicide situation. So it really kind of allowed me to understand why they may be part of, that might be some of their reaction or how they become as rigid as they have. In addition, there was a physician or a gentleman there that was very much passive-aggressive, or my perception was passive-aggressive, and was very ego-driven. But then when I reached out in his situation, I was reminded that he had a lot of dyslexia, so he was trying, I think, a lot of his outwardness of being aggressive when in a kind of know-it-all approach had a lot to do with the fact that he had a lot of insecurities himself. And so it was just a good practice for me because, you know, I walked away, because I chose not to be in that situation.
Right, and again, like we said earlier, it still may be a dysfunctional situation or a situation that's not nurturing for you and you'll be part of, but at least you don't walk away how we usually, blaming and angry and disappointed, and we just, you know, they are who they are. I mean, it sounds trite, but it's true. They are who they... Yeah.
I feel like I should be able to just live in that environment.
But, you know, how do you find out? I mean, maybe, you know, again...
I can't.
Right, and that's where you'll find out about yourself, too. And again, I mean, you know, we're on a path, but we're not fully realized yet. And often in situations, especially difficult situations, those are good for us because they challenge us and they force us to grow. But again, having said that, it doesn't mean that we want to experience them in an ongoing way. Right, and I think that's what you often get to in work situations or certain types of relationships. Again, where you, at a certain point, difficult people, difficult situations, that we are forced to practice understanding and practice patience and practice compassion and all these good qualities. And so these types of situations can be beneficial. But if they are constant, they just become too painful, right? And so sometimes we do have to walk away, right? But that's okay. Thank you. Anything else before we end tonight? So please. Again, I'll be back in 2 weeks, but when you come next week, please during this week practice exchanging self and others. Right? Just kind of do it. You know, whether you pick up the paper and your favorite politician has done another thing that you go, I just can't believe this person, you know, or just trying to feel yourself being, you know, like that. Say, well, let me try to understand where they're coming from and why somebody could see things this way and why somebody could think this is the right way or the good solution. Doesn't mean you agree. And again, as you go through your week this week and run into people that just kind of push your buttons or you get angry at or you go, I can't believe them or how could somebody do that? And just stop, okay? And see and exchange yourself. Get out of yourself and become the other person. Seeing with their eyes, walking in their shoes, with their past, and see if you can't understand them. And then see what that does to the way then you deal with the situation. Okay, everybody clear? Good. So we'll end now.